broadcasting live from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. It's the Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get him, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's the Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch.
They do have a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Welcome into the Bill King Show. I am your host for the hour, Crazy Charlie Sonny. The Bill King Show, of course, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The King and crew getting set up at the Southern Steak and Oyster. You know where that is? The corner of 3rd and DeMundry. And trace that wonderful pinnacle building from the Nashville skyline all the way down to street level. And right there, you'll find a fantastic spot to get a great breakfast this morning and join the entire Nashville sports radio crew. Bill King takes over at the top of next hour. He'll have Brad Powers on for the entire third hour of the show. You can always get your handicapping requests into the show by using the hashtag on Twitter, AskBP, and you can get your tweets into Bill King, period, by tweeting to @BillIsKing. Never too early to start getting your tweets in, to start getting your questions in. If you want to interact with the King, Twitter truly has become the direct path, the easiest channel. If you'd like to dial into the show, you're always welcome to do that. 615-844-5600. That's 615-844-5600. You can start stacking them up and lining them up for the King. If you've got something you want to talk to me about, though I don't really know why you would, you're welcome to. Remember, download the WNSR app. You can listen to this radio show anywhere in the known universe, I think even in unknown universes. And we appreciate so many of you listening out there on the app all across the country. College sports is a worldwide phenomenon, and we have an incredible audience coming from all parts. A lot of you listening on the WNSR app and others of you listening on WNSR.com, streaming live, all of this 100% completely for free for you here at Nashville Sports Radio. Again, I'm your host just for this hour. Bill King will be taking over from the Southern Steak and Oyster. Oh, and by the way, we will also be on location from 9 to 11. Bill King will do a little bit of overtime, so if you want to go hang out with him down there at the Southern Steak and Oyster. Chris Hope will be on location with the Greg Pogue and John Burton show. That's right, Chris Hope going to be down there co-hosting all morning long. It's going to be a fantastic morning at the Southern, so come on down, check it out. The WNSR crew will have things all set up. It is a frigid morning here in the Music City, originating from the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Before I turn it over to Bill King down there at the Southern Steak and Oyster, I had forgotten, growing up in New Jersey, what that wind out of the north, when it starts whipping at a little over 30 miles an hour, bringing the wind chills down to almost single digits. I had forgotten that feeling. You catch it pretty quick when you walk out the door at 4 a.m. to get on into the studios. Listen, what we're going to do for this hour, we're going to take you on a tour the week that was of the Bill King Show. Bill had a couple of really good conversations this week concerning a bunch of different topics when it comes to college sports. Yesterday, in case you missed it, Bill King was joined by Tubbs. That's right, the coach, Tommy Tuberville. He talked about a whole bunch of different things on the Bill King Show, shared some stories, and also discussed some of the current things going on around the landscape of college football. This was the conversation Bill King had with Tommy Tuberville yesterday, right here on the Bill King Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Coach, how you been, sir?
Good morning, Bill. What's happening?
I wanted to ask you, let me give you a little backstory before I ask you the question. We were talking about previous seasons. 1990, Georgia Tech was not ranked going into the season, and Bobby Ross and that team won their way to splitting a championship. I wanted to talk to you initially about 04. You guys are ranked at Auburn 17th and 18th in the two polls. You won your way all the way through it, but couldn't get into the BCS championship game. Give us your thoughts on that season and what transpired.
Well, as a coach, you never really know how good your team's going to gel as you go along. We knew we had the talent.
Right.
We just didn't know, how we were going to gel as a unit. Because you got to remember, 90% of the players on that team never touched a football. Any football team. And so they got to do their job. And that's what makes it so difficult, is getting everybody convinced consistently to do their job in a very tough conference, the SEC. And we ended up being a dang good football team. We knew we had a lot of good players, 4 first-round draft picks at the end of the year. But as you said, we were a victim of the media, because we started at 17. Nobody really understood how good we had possibly had a chance. And the year before, they tried to run me off. Do you remember that?
Yep.
And so there was a lot of negative going into the season, but we walked through. The only close game we had was Nick Saban's LSU team came to Auburn, and we won 10-9. The rest of the season, we kind of walked through it. But it just goes to show you, at the end of the year, the media picked Oklahoma ahead of us, which at the end of the day, we were probably 3 touchdowns better than them. And then they got destroyed by USC. And then USC got caught with their hand in the cookie jar, and they vacated. There's not a national champion that year. NCAA right. didn't have enough forethought to say, we've got a good team we can give it to. We can just go over and consider Auburn as the national champion, because they did everything possibly they could. But it didn't happen. So there's not many days go by, Bill, I don't think about how good we were, but how good the players were, not just on the field, but off the field. It was a great experience for me, I'll tell you that.
I know you said you never know as you're meandering through a season. You never know. You think you've got good players, but each game stands on its own. But here's the question. Did at any point late in the season you guys spend any time on Southern Cal or Oklahoma or any other team that you may have faced?
Well, probably don't remember that far back, but I'd played previous couple of years before that. I'd played USC going right. out in the Coliseum and played them, and we lost at the end of the game. And the next year, they came to town with a young man by the name of Reggie Bush to Auburn, and we were a good football team, but we weren't good enough to beat that team. And so we had a pretty good comparison, but we had everybody back, and they had lost a few. The thing that we could have competed against USC, they had some big receivers now, and they could throw the ball down the field. But we had Carlos Rogers and a couple of defensive backs, Junior Rosegreen, that were phenomenal. And, we matched up real good with them. So it is what it is. I play that game in my mind all the time. What would we have done? We did think about them starting at the end of the season. We destroyed Georgia in the second from the last game. They were ranked, I think, number 4 or 5. We lit them up. That was probably the best game we played all year. And then next week we played the Iron Bowl, and we were behind at halftime, but came back, won by a couple, 2-3 touchdowns. And so great group of kids, a lot of great memories, not just that year, but all the years I coached and had a great time. It's a great profession, being a coach, especially in the SEC.
Tommy Tuberville with us. Your thoughts on this proposal that looks like it probably will pass, and that's the one-time free transfer rule.
Oh, man.
I hate it, by the way.
Oh, yeah. I tell you. I am all for the graduate rule. If you graduated and you have another year of eligibility, you go. I think that's helped. But to be able to transfer and go somewhere else, to me, and everybody says, well, he's a coach and he's going to protect, players and that they've recruited, and dang right I am. But the one thing that I want to share with people, we don't in this country teach people to quit. Once you start teaching people to quit, and football is an amazing sport. It teaches people to bow up. When things get tough, you get tougher. And that's the only way you can survive. But when you get in a situation that you might not like the coach, or how he's pushing you, or he's not giving me a fair chance, man, if I heard that one time in a season, I heard it 100 times. Coach, I'm not getting a fair shot. And I'd always tell him, let me tell you something. I got a prejudice bone in my body because I got to win games. I'm going to play the best one, the one that's prepared, ready to go. So if you start letting these kids transfer one time, it is – I can see a few things about it, coaches leaving, those kind of things, but let's don't teach this youth that when times get tough, you know, fold your tent and look for a better opportunity, because the grass is not greener on the other side, I promise you.
How about this scenario, though? Let's say you've got a guy at a MAC school or a lower-level P5 school who was not a big-name recruit but has developed into a fantastic player, and this happens, and you're at Alabama or Auburn or Ohio State. You can go poach that guy.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to make the – it's going to make the rich richer. You know that, Bill. You've been in this business a long time. You've seen it. And we prided ourselves at Ole Miss and some other places that we were lacking in some areas and facilities and money compared to some of the big boys, that we would bring a two-star in or a three-star and develop that kid.
Right.
And get him in the weight room and teach him fundamentals and make him work hard and get the most out of him and end up being a, you know, a good football player. Maybe not great, but a good one, because you don't have all great players. You just build that team of good football players and you win a lot of games. Like I said, you know, most of these kids never touch the football and they have got to perform and do their job. But man, one thing about it though, Bill, is NCAA is on the run. They are afraid of a lawsuit. And they bring in and spend millions of dollars up there, and they have all kind of administrators and presidents and airplanes, and it's kind of like the federal government. And now they are scared of their shadow when it comes to possibly not agreeing with something. You know, these kids now make $600-$700 a month cash after everything else is paid. People say, well, they don't get paid. Oh, yeah, they do. Cost of attendance. These kids get money in their pocket. They do great. And so I would hate, and I can see it coming, the NCAA will bend over any way they possibly can to stay away from a lawsuit like they did on these kids being able to use their likeness. Now, it's not going to affect it much because not very many of them. People are going to pay for a jersey with their name on it, which might have a few. But what you've done there, Bill, is you've injected in lawyers and agents into kids that are playing college football or basketball. So it is it's difficult and interesting times in college athletics, and we need to make sure it stays amateur, not professional. We've ruined the Olympics by letting LeBron James play against these 6-foot basketball players from these other countries. We've lost our mind about winning. It's about competing and doing our best to build our amateur sports. And, man, I'm an amateur type guy. I want it to stay.
Tommy Tuberville with us. Before I ask you about the Senate race, give everybody the cliff notes. When you got to Ole Miss, you were at A&M briefly as the coordinator. They were on probation, and you were limited with scholarships. And I remember those recruits. You had a really good first class, big-name class. But with some of the players, you had to piece together the scholarships. Explain again to everybody how you did that.
It was smoke and mirrors. You know, I take the job on December the 1st.
Right.
And they were being investigated, but had their day in court, but the penalties hadn't come down. The week after I got there, of course, I was told it wasn't going to be as bad, but my God.
Right.
They took away, 12 scholarships a year for 2 years, no television for a couple of years, no bowl game for a couple of years. It was a disaster. And then we only had, 55 kids on scholarship, and so we were between a rock and a hard place. You won't see that many that kind of penalty again. It just doesn't have. Well, I think it was second behind the death penalty to SMU. It was ironic. The very first kid that I recruited, I went to his home in Gulfport, Mississippi, because he was a legacy kid. His parents went to Ole Miss. His brother played at Ole Miss, but he was going to either Vanderbilt or Tulane or SMU. And I had to go in, and you're talking about hard recruiting. I had to go in and say, listen, I don't have a scholarship. I didn't need you to walk on. And, you know, they kind of hit them between coach. We missed a lot of money. I said, listen, you're a legacy. You need to come. We do everything. And that kid ended up being my center for 4 straight years and never missed a snap. It was Matt Luke, kid they just let go at Ole Miss as a head coach. And so we begged everybody we could to get them, and Jackie Sherrill got mad at me 1 year because I signed 53 to National Letters. See, he can't do that. Well, I didn't put scholarship letters in there. And so I just, hey, we're going to give you the notoriety, but we just want you to come and knowing that you signed with us, but I can't give you a scholarship. So we did everything within the rules we could do to save the program, and it worked out pretty good.
I remember some of those first guys. Now, these were name guys. Romero Miller, Armijah Spearman, Terrence Metcalf, Deuce McAllister. I mean, that group, you still – those names are still out there, man.
Oh, Rufus Grinch. I mean, we had – let me tell you something. When we left and went to Auburn as a coaching staff, we made the decision to take the job because the chancellor there was not going to give us the opportunity for any new facilities for 5 years. And I just told the chancellor, I've got to go. You're going to end up having to fire me. I can't do this with smoke and mirrors forever. So it was a staff decision to go to Auburn. But as we all looked at each other, we're saying we're leaving a heck of a football team. And they came to Auburn the next year and whipped our tail. And I was proud of those kids. They hung in there. David Cutcliffe came in and did a good job, you know, with that team. But I think there was a dozen kids that went on to the NFL from that program. But I tell you, it wasn't me that got that program back on track. It was our coaches and our fans, because our fans stayed with us. And that's what I'll tell people. You know, when you're having problems, it's easy to jump out and point fingers and get involved maybe with another team. But the people at Ole Miss, they hung in there and were very strong and vigilant, and the program survived because of Ole Miss fans.
Tommy Tuberville with us. Tell us about the Senate race down there. What's happening right now?
Interesting. I got 12 or 11 days before the election. I decided about a year ago that I wanted to get in politics to help this country, because our main thing is our education. I've seen it for 10, 12 years just absolutely go downhill. We're teaching our kids things in this country that this country is not about. So I jumped in and jumped in against a sitting congressman and a sitting senator for 20 years, and was attorney general that Trump fired and let go. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun. In the last 4 or 5 days, they'll spend $3 million probably each going after me, and with bad ads and, you know, fake news and all that. But, you know, it's kind of like in football, if I had a kid committed and a couple of weeks before the signing date, you know, they're going to do everything to convince that kid that I'm going to make him play offensive line and he wants to play deep, you know, just do different stuff. But it's really good. I'm going to win this race. The polls are excellent. The people are hungry for non-politicians in this country, just like Donald Trump. And I want to go up and help this country get back on the right track and help the people of Alabama and Donald Trump.
Coach, appreciate your time, sir, very much. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, Bill. Great to talk to you.
There he was, the coach, Tommy Tuberville, joining Bill King yesterday here on the Bill King Show. I'm your host just till the top of the hour, Crazy Charlie Sonnier. Appreciate you joining us here from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios on Nashville Sports Radio for the Bill King Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. The WNSR crew getting things all set up down at the Southern Steak and Oyster, where the King will take over at the top of the hour. Remember, you can always tweet to Bill at Bill is King. Never too early to start getting in those interactions, those questions, and the things you want to talk about out here on this radio show. Bill King takes over the top of the hour, and he has 2 hours live from the Southern Steak and Oyster. We'll continue going around the week that was in the Bill King Show right here from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios. I'm your host, Crazy Charlie Sonnier, and we'll be back right after this.
Good morning. Appears to be an accident here on this I-24 off-ramp here at Hickory Hollow Parkway. Yes, that's in the construction. Again, some flashing lights in this area here on 24 westbound off-ramp at Hickory Hollow Parkway. Night drive at Briley Parkway and Trinity Hills are working an accident at that location. It's starting to pick up now. Also on 65 southbound, coming past Trinity Lane, just a minor wreck there at Donaldson Pike and Murfreesboro Pike. Hey, the Music City Irish Fest in Nashville kicks off March 14th. Check out the details. Music City Irish Fest. I'm Commander
Enter
Chuck,
Zen
you're on
Outer
time
Beauty,
traffic.
Located on the fourth floor of Omni Nashville Hotel, Makara Salon and Spa offers a full-service spa experience. Relax in the luxury of the signature Makara Spa as you're pampered with an ultimate spa experience. Treat yourself to everything from a soothing facial to full salon services in the heart of downtown Nashville. To make an appointment, call 615-761-3600 or visit the Makara Spa on the Omni Nashville website. As always, valet is complimentary, and any service booked Monday through Thursday grants you full access to our room. rooftop pool and bar.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack, but not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Let's talk credit card debt for a minute. If you feel you're carrying too much of it, you're not alone. The average household in the U.S. carries over $8,000 in credit card debt. Ready for some good news? With a cash-out refinance from Quicken Loans, you can quickly and easily put some of the equity in your home to good use by paying off a lot of that high-interest credit card debt. A great way to take cash out is with our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage. The rate today on our 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.99%. APR 4.23%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN to learn how taking cash out with a 30-year fixed mortgage might be the right solution for you. And for a record 10 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rates subject to change. Pay 2% fee to receive this discounted rate. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Redneck Nation Radio is on Nashville Sports Radio. Catch one of the longest running radio shows devoted to the Nashville Predators.
I'm Kyle Turris of Nashville Predators.
I'm Colton Sissons of the Nashville Predators.
Every game day morning at 5 with Crazy Charlie Saunier.
I'm Matt Duchesne of the Nashville Predators, and you're listening to the Renegades of Puck with Crazy Charlie on Nashville Sports Radio.
Nashville Sports Radio and Redneck Nation, a match made in hockey. College sports. Bill King knows a few things.
It's true. He does. The Bill King Show, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel from the Gog and Caldwell Studio. I'm your host till the top of the hour, Crazy Charlie Saunier. Redneck Nation Radio, you heard that promo coming back into this segment. Fantastic radio show. Leads into the Bill King Show 3 times a week, sometimes 4 times a week. And the Predneck takeovers will go on whenever they need to. Join me and all the Renegades of Puck in the trenches as we talk all things NHL hockey, mostly focused on the local franchise, the Nashville Predators. Spin Doctors bringing us from bringing us back from break right there. That's by request from Round Man. Let him know how much you appreciate that. Doing a lot of hard work here from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios. We've got a lot of great things going on. We'll be turning it over to Bill King at the Southern Steak and Oyster here in just a couple of minutes. Remember, Brad Powers in hour number 3. Never too early to get in those handicapping requests. Use the hashtag on Twitter, AskBP, and you'll be able to get those requests stacked up and get them in good and early. One of the most popular segments and hours on the entire show is Brad Powers and his handicapping advice and wisdom each and every week. That's why it is such a prominent feature here on the Bill King Show. Taking a tour around the archives in the week that was, and remember, if you want to catch any of these archives, we upload each and every interview, each and every hour of the Bill King Show to SoundCloud, and you can also catch those on iTunes. WNSR.com is the easiest way to get to them. Click on the Bill King Show tab, and you will find yourself access to all of the previous interviews and shows, just like this one right here, every week, just after 8 o'clock on Tuesday mornings in the Central Time Zone. Mike Griffith joins the Bill King Show. Sometimes he stirs up some controversy, and sometimes he just says some things that drives you crazy. I think this week he accomplished a little bit of both of those.
Griff, before I talk Georgia, I got to ask you about Michigan State. You know that beat? You told everybody in advance D'Antonio would not be the coach for 2020. What did you think about the whole Mel Tucker story?
Wow. Well, you know, the way it went down was kind of a black eye for college football when you think about it, with Mel maybe not being up front. You know, there's a Sports Illustrated story saying he was meeting with boosters the night before, and you know, it's just, it's pretty much a cash grab. It almost looks like he took the job for the wrong reasons. You know, Michigan State on its side, it looks like a panic hire. They would have been better off with Butch Jones. He would have been a destination coach. He's from up there. He's had success up there. when he was at Central Michigan, actually beat Michigan State. So, you know, getting a coach with 1 year of a head coaching experience is 5-7. I just think Butch would have been a better hire. You know, he had the crisis management when he took over Tennessee. They had all that sexual stuff, assault stuff going off field. He had to manage through that, and he had a horrible administration. You know, he didn't have, you know, Philip Fulmer wasn't there yet. So I thought Michigan State made a mistake there. Here's the thing, Bill. There's probably going to be more news coming out very shortly about Michigan State. I mean, they've hired Mel, but they're not out of the woods. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if something today or tomorrow popped. So it is what it is. It's a situation their administration has gotten themselves into up there. They didn't handle the Larry Nassar case properly. They haven't handled Mark D'Antonio properly. They didn't handle Curtis Blackwell's dismissal properly. If there was a way to clean out, and they've already changed their president and AD, I don't even think their AD was part of the problem. To be honest with you, I thought Mark Hollis was, you know, probably one of the smartest people in the room. But they got some problems up there in East Lansing. They're only going to get worse shortly.
While I'm in Michigan, I want to ask you about Beilein. Apparently, the Cleveland experiment's not working out. I don't think anything's been decided, but there's talk that maybe he's not going to be the coach even to finish out the season. He's 67. Obviously, his resume in college is fantastic. Would he be a good hire at that age for some school?
Absolutely. You know, you know what it kind of reminds me of is Steve Spurrier not working out of the NFL. You know, when you get to the pros,
yeah,
you're dealing with egos. It's not about what you know. It's about how you can manage egos. And, you know, I think John Beilein is, you know, I remember when Tennessee was getting ready to play Michigan in the NCAA tournament. Bruce's last game is Tennessee's head coach.
Yeah.
And I talked to him. He said, "We're in trouble." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Beilein runs the best stuff in college basketball." He said, we're in trouble, Mike. This is going to be really tough. And I think they lost by 19 or 20. Pearl knows. Pearl knew they were going to beat Kansas when they were shorthanded. He told me he thought they were going to win, that they were going to be the number one team. He knew that he had a pretty good idea that they were going to lose to Mitt because John Beilein is such a good tactician. But in the NBA, it's not even about that. Let's be honest. It's about managing egos. And, you know, and the NBA guys, they're going to do it their way. You know, you're just, you know, there as a coach. You know, your job is to get along with them. It's unfortunate. But if Coach Beilein wants to return to college basketball, he'd be a sensational hire.
Is he regionally specific? Meaning, is there a part of the country he wouldn't want to go to?
No. I don't know what his, Don Beilein well enough to say he only wants to live in this area of the country. But if you're asking me if he could win anywhere, the answer would be yes.
No, I agree with you there. They're boy, and you're right. You're talking about a bench coach, elite on that level, no doubt about it. What's going on in Georgia land right now? What is keeping you occupied?
Good things, you know. Great signing class. Kirby melding the staff together. They still have an opening. Like I said, he slow plays everything. No need to hire a guy right now. You know, he's got his OC in there, and he's got Matt Luke, and those two guys, I think, are going to, you know, really work well together. I really like the Matt Luke hire. I think that's just an absolute steal for Georgia. You know, I think Ole Miss made a mistake firing Matt Luke, but listen, he'll be a head coach again in the SEC in the next 2 or 3 years. But for now, Georgia's fortunate to have him. He's a great line coach. He's brought a lot of energy. He's really filled Sam Pittman's shoes. And Sam Pittman, by the way, you know, he made some waves there. I'll admit, I was skeptical. And he might not have been the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, or sixth choice. But he's getting some ball players over there in Arkansas. So that'll be interesting to see what happens there too, Bill.
Yeah, I'm a skeptic. Two reasons. I don't know that you could win anymore at Arkansas. It's been a long time. Petrino had some moments. I'll give you that. And I don't know what qualifications Pittman had to be a head coach, but we're about to find out. I mean, and he's doing – you're right. He is rallying the troops. He's got them energized in recruiting. And really the SEC affiliation, Griff, dating back to 1992 when they went East-West, has not really benefited them in recruiting. It's benefited them financially, but in getting players, it hasn't helped them.
Well, I think they were going to have a hard time with that anyway, just because of where they're at. I think the rise of Texas A&M has probably put a dent in Arkansas.
Right.
Obviously, Oklahoma and Texas have always gotten players out of there. Nebraska fell off a little bit, and that probably helped Arkansas, but they are mostly a regional school, and they don't produce a lot of Division I talent. It makes you appreciate what Hugh Nutt did. You know, even going back to 98, and I know we're losing half our audience when I talk about 1998, but, you know, that Arkansas team had Tennessee beat. And then they beat them the next year, you know. So,
I remember.
You know, and they didn't have, and those were the most talented Vols of all time. I want to say the 99 team. I think they had 7 of the first 53 players picked in the draft. You might want to check that, but it was an embarrassment of riches in 99, and I think that team went 9-3 and lost at Arkansas in a new Jefferson Pilot game. The team Martin would later tell me the guys weren't excited about because it wasn't CBS. He was, but the rest of the team wasn't. It was an early game, and it wasn't on a CBS. And then the other thing was then they got pounded by Nebraska in that bowl game again. Peyton had lost to him in his last game, and then they lost 2 years later out in the Fiesta Bowl.
Mike Griffith with us, and we are talking about whatever we talk about when Griff comes on here. Is basketball much of a thing for you covering Georgia?
No, I cover back. Listen, Tom Crane is, you know, you're too tough. You know, he's got a lot of young guys. He's got 9 freshmen. They've had some heartbreaking defeats. Anthony Edwards has been ill the last week and a half with the flu, trying to play through it. It's been a tough season, but there's been some sparks and some exciting moments, you know, going on the road and beating Memphis. You know, just to give you some perspective on just how bad, you know, Georgia basketball history is, and I know their fans kind of, you know, don't like it, bristle when I say it, but when Georgia beat Memphis on the road earlier, it was all history that Georgia went on the road and beat a non-conference top 25 team. And so that was a good moment, and then they beat Tennessee by 17. That was probably their best game of the year.
Right. Well, but that win over Memphis doesn't look so good anymore, right?
Well, no, but, you know, at the time you're playing a top 10 team on the road.
Yeah.
Memphis thinks they're a top 10 team, and everybody thinks they're, you know, obviously Memphis has trailed off. You know, maybe that loss hurt Memphis a little bit, but still, for a young team to go into that environment, FedEx Forum, you know, it was popping. The hostile, you know, it's a hostile crowd. It's a great basketball town. Really, Memphis is. I don't know. Where did they leave Memphis-Tennessee series? To me, it's just, you know, if there's one thing I'd be critical about on Rick Barnes, it would be this season. It's that he shies away from the big game. You know, the whole Big 12 SEC thing, he didn't want to play Texas. I mean, come on. Play Texas. For God's sakes, it's a game everybody wants to see. You know, he didn't want to play it. So that's why Tennessee didn't play Texas. You know, and I don't know what's going on with Memphis-Tennessee rivalry, but play the darn game. I mean, you play 30 games a year in basketball. Nobody's going to get mad if you lose one game. You know, do it for the fans, right? They shut down their summer league there in Knoxville. At least in Memphis.
Griff, you're fading on me there. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I can hear you now, Bill. Sorry about that. Going through a bad spell. But I was just saying, I'd like to see Tennessee play Texas in the Big 12 Challenge, and I'd like to see Rick Barnes be receptive to that.
I'll let you go on this. So let's go back to Bruce. I love Bruce Pearl. I'm an apologist for him unabashedly. But did Tennessee make a mistake firing him?
Well, that's a tough question.
I know,
they made a mistake with. They made a mistake because they did a very poor job with the law firm that they handled. The whole key to the Bruce Pearl law, you know, NCAA troubles was the picture. The sad part is that the law firm that Tennessee hired to defend him knew that the picture existed and didn't tell Bruce Pearl or his staff before they went in to be interviewed. It was a colossal you-know-what. And secondly, the NCAA, he was actually fired for a violation he didn't commit. Tennessee kept him after the picture, but then the enforcement staff said that there was a bump violation, and then it was later found out there wasn't a violation. So let's face it, the vultures were circling. ESPN attacking Bruce Pearl in Tennessee every time they were on TV. Dick Vitale was out to get him, said a lot of really bad things about Bruce Pearl. Every time Tennessee played, they showed this timeline, and meanwhile they did absolutely nothing with Jim Calhoun at UConn, who was facing much more serious allegations. So Bruce's time came, but Tennessee messed up with the law firm they hired. That was the real big mistake, because the violation itself was really nothing. You know, a player stopping by a coach's house for 10 minutes. It was the fact that Bruce wasn't honest about it in his first interview, and the fact that the law firm that Tennessee hired bungled the case.
Hey, Griff, quickly, the picture was just a picture of them at the cookout, right? But who was it that sent that picture in?
It was a picture of Aaron Kraft and Bruce Pearl in front of a microwave oven. Okay. There was nothing descriptive about it. So his assistants had no idea where it was at. They were standing in front of a microwave oven. It was on Aaron Kraft's Facebook page from a year and a half ago. And it just so happened Aaron Kraft ended up at Ohio State. And it just so happened that right before it got turned in, Tennessee beat Ohio State in the Sweet 16, and Thad Mata and Bruce Pearl didn't have good words. So a few months later, that picture magically appeared, and all signs pointed to Ohio State turning in Tennessee.
Oh,
not right after it happened, but right after Tennessee beat Ohio State in the Sweet 16. But here's the other key. None of this happens if the NCAA is not on campus, and the reason the NCAA was on campus was because of Lane Kiffin.
Griff, I'll let you run. Appreciate it, man.
Hi, Bill.
Mike Griff, that joins the Bill King Show every Tuesday just after 8 a.m. Central Time, usually around 8:20. And he says some things that stir the pot and get the conversation started. And I think that that appearance definitely accomplished that. I'm your host till the top of the hour, Crazy Charlie Sonny, here from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios. This is the Bill King Show. We'll continue on a tour of the week that was leading up to the Bill King Show taking over at the top of the hour from the Southern Steak and Oyster at the corner of 3rd and Mundrian, right there in downtown Nashville at the base of the Pinnacle Building. Go down there, check it out. They start serving at 7:30. Bill King will take over live on location starting at 7. Brad Powers coming up in hour number 3. From the Gog and Cold Hall Studios, I am your host, Charlie Sonnier, and you're listening to the Bill King Show presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. Watching traffic pick up quite a bit in the last few minutes out here on 65 coming down through Madison. There's a couple of wrecks in there, clearing stages like that one on Murfreesboro Pike there at I-24, Night Drive at Briley Parkway. Just about to wrap up that wreck, 24 westbound at Hickory Hollow Parkway coming in from Rutherford County. Hey, buying or selling a home, then call Nikisha and Tony Tate at Exit Master Realty. They are the Tate team and they are the best. Call today, 554-9795. I'm Commander Chuck, you're on time traffic.
It's amazing what a simple refresh can do to make a difference in your home, and Lowe's is here to help make it happen. Start by shopping our new wall tile selection with hundreds of mosaics, including modern blacks and blues, marble mosaics starting at just $7.98, and finish off your project with dual scrub and stain-resistant Valspar Ultra Interior Paint Plus Primer starting at just $24.98 a gallon. Whatever updates you need to make today and every day, do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Offers valid through 2/19 U.S. only.
Samuel T. Bryant Distillery is a true small-batched craft distillery. Premium ingredients start to finish on a family farm in Jackson, Tennessee. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
Madame Tussauds is Nashville's most interactive, famous fun experience and the only all-music-themed wax attraction in the world. To the end of February, Tennessee residents save $14 with the 10 for Tennessee rate. Where else but Madame Tussauds can you sing along with Patsy Cline, strike a pose with Justin Timberlake, rock out with Elvis, or take a selfie with Carrie Underwood? You will laugh, sing, dance, and make memories as you step into iconic musical moments in rock, pop, blues, jazz, and country. To get your $10 for Tennessee rate, just present your ID to the friendly admission staff at Madame Tussauds, just inside Opry Mills. Madame Tussauds, Nashville, unforgettable, famous fun.
Samuel T. Bryant makes premium spirits in small batches, start to finish. Jackson, Tennessee's premier craft distillery, Samuel T. Bryant. Online at SamuelTBryant.com. SamuelTBryant.com.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Welcome, Angie McCartney.
When he'd come home, Jim would say to him, "How are your bowels, Sonny? We can go to the old cat."
dad. You know, I'm a people. You don't ask me about my bowels. Oh, it's not that funny. Come on.
Yeah, we didn't expect me talking about Paul's bowels this morning.
Greg Fogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
If there's a drama stream anywhere in college sports, the Bill King Show is there to break it down.
Welcome back in, Bill King Show. Crazy Charlie Sonia here at the Goggin Cold Hall Studios. Just till the top of the hour, and Bill King takes over the Southern Steak and Oyster at the base of the Pinnacle Building right there at the corner of 3rd and Mundry in downtown Nashville. Come on by and check it out. They start serving food at 7:30, but the King takes over live on location at 7. He'll take you all the way through till 9 a.m. Central Time. And then you just heard the promo coming back from break. Greg Pogue and John Burton, they will also be on location, but Greg Pogue out on assignment calling OVC basketball this week. So, Chris Hope, that's right, Florida Florida State Seminole, former Tennessee Titan, Pittsburgh Steeler, Chris Hope will be on location co-hosting with News Channel 5's John Burton for the entire show down there at the Southern Steak and Oyster. So come on by. The WNSR crew is putting the final touches on getting everything all plugged in, set up, and connected. So we'll be checking in with them in a couple of minutes. But up until then, we will continue on the week that was here at the Bill King Show. And of course, remember, you can find those archives by going to WNSR.com, SoundCloud, and iTunes. These are very efficient and effective ways in an on-demand world to catch everything you missed here on the Bill King Show. All interviews, all individual hours are broken up, and we put them up for you each and every day, and we do that as efficiently as possible. So remember, that's another way to support the Bill King Show and to support Nashville Sports Radio is by checking out those archives and using WNSR.com to get there. Every Tuesday morning, Charles Arbuckle joins the Bill King Show. He is a charter member of the No Chucks Club, along with myself, and, of course, Charles Davis, and he joins Bill King every Tuesday morning as they chop it up talking about ball.
I ask you a lot about your time at UCLA. I find it very interesting. I watched quite a few of those games when you played. Was there ever a time, because Mel Tucker just came up again on the show, was there ever a time when your famous coach, Terry Donahue, it felt like he may leave you guys?
You know, there were a couple of times where there was some conversation. I think the Rams, I think the Falcons, maybe the 49ers. You know, I mean, I just think I know the Rams and the Falcons at one point. I can't remember if it was later in my career.
Yeah.
I think it was, like, my sophomore and junior year where he was getting some bites during that time. I think the one thing that he wanted to stay out west, which he eventually became the general manager for the 49ers. So, yeah, I remember it, but I don't think there was ever a really immediate threat of him leaving.
Yeah, you know, I don't remember it either.
There was some conversation, but I think the biggest thing is, we were winning bowl games, and he was consistently getting in contention, and we were in contention 2 of my 4 years there for the Rose Bowl. Actually got knocked out by USC, so that was tough to swallow, and it still is to this day. But, yeah, I mean, going in on my recruiting trip, they were practicing for the Rose Bowl. I went back to Houston and told everybody they're going to beat the brakes off of Iowa. I don't know what Iowa has, but I was watching them practice, and I could just tell. And it wasn't just because I had my fanboy glasses on, but I remember Eric Ball. I remember the crisp tempo of practice. And so when the game took place and they just start beating Iowa and just running up and down the field, I kept telling my buddies, I'm like, I told y'all that was going to happen. I didn't know what Iowa – I knew, you know, I watched Iowa during the year, but I was like, if they're not ready for this, these boys are going to get out there and play. And that put in my mind that if I go to UCLA, I'll get one, maybe two Rose Bowls, and was in contention 2 years in a row and got beat by SC. So that was a hard pill to swallow.
Charles Arbuckle with us. A lot of debate about Mel Tucker and the proper protocol here. Now, I've suggested that everybody in this audience and everybody outside this audience, if they call and say, we'll double your salary, doesn't matter what you do for a living, you're going to go. But that night that apparently this thing was getting consummated, he was at a Colorado event. Everybody that I've read about said it was very awkward. He looked kind of half-hearted. You could tell probably something was going on. But the Colorado people wanted to continue to believe. They really didn't know what was going on. And then later that night after that event, he was agreeing to the Sparty job. So my question is, if everybody agrees, if they're going to take your salary and double it, which they did for him, everybody would do the same thing, but what's the proper protocol leading up to it? He tweeted he wasn't going to go. He was at an event. How are you? My question is, what's the rule? How are you supposed to act here?
I think a couple of things. I mean, and it's easy for us all to say because we can sit back and say, oh, I wouldn't do this.
Right.
I call BS on a lot of those people. I did feel bad and poorly for the young men, and I've said this with the NCAA. They need to make this rule inactive. If a coach leaves, that those guys can go free and clear. I know they don't want to have free agency, but college coaches are allowed to do this. They're allowed to take their staff. So you can tell a guy, well, hey, just go to a school because you love the school. Yeah, that's good. But then when you are there and a new regime comes in, there's no guarantee that they're going to keep you there. They may not. You may not fit. It may be a run and shoot, and you're not a run and shoot, player. It's just all kind of different options and things that happen when that takes place. So first and foremost, there should be some kind of executive order. They can do everything else. He's going to Congress asking them to help him with certain things about college football. The NCAA should have a rule. If a coach leaves, players should get to go. I don't want to hear, we can't do that. We can do a whole lot of other things, technology the way it is. So let's do that. Let's address that first. Secondly, he should have stayed off of the social media platforms. That didn't help his look at all. And I think that's the hardest part when you're trying to tell your story. Let that story play out. And then lay low. I mean, did he have to go to the event at Colorado? I mean, maybe it would have looked kind of wrong, but in the same regard, people wouldn't have felt like, hey, he did us wrong. But at the end of the day, anyone that tells me, oh, he should be loyal, Bill McCartney got fired after being a coach of the year, right? Coach of the year candidate from Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
I say you have to do what's best for you. Now, Coach McCartney, and I'm screwing his name up, he didn't have to stay there in that situation, or he didn't have great numbers every year, but he was able to get Colorado to a nice level, and then they were looking to go to the next level, so they fired him. And I'm saying, okay, so Mel Tucker looks at this and says, I'm a SEC guy. I've had Big Ten ties. This is a Big Ten team that I know has been to the college football playoff, and I've got a chance to get back there. That's the only reason I think he had to get out of there when he did. But the way he did it and the looks and everything else didn't help him in that situation.
And then supposedly, the AD there is Rick George, a guy that I've mentioned. I know he was here in town at Vanderbilt back when DiNardo got here. But apparently they wouldn't let him talk to the team. Now, I don't know if that's verified or not, but that's what I've heard.
I call it, that's kind of bush. I mean, I get what you're saying. You're upset.
Yeah.
But, if you think the players are going to rail on them, that's one thing. But let them have that moment. The only other problem with that, too, is maybe they said – he didn't recruit these guys, but he got close to them.
Right.
Colorado was a competitive team this year, even though they were 5-7. So, I don't know. I thought that was a little odd. I think the whole optics of it, the way it all looked at the end for them, didn't look good for Colorado, and it didn't look good for Mel Tucker. But at the end of the day, Bill, he doubled his salary. He parlayed that job, and you're usually hired to get opportunities, right? Or you're going to get fired as a coach. There's no in-between. It's not a, hey, you're going to go out of this thing and, we're going to honor you. We're going to give you a rocking chair. You're going to get the best. Most coaches get fired, right? I don't care how good they are. Now, Nick Saban, he may not. But, hell, I don't know why people think it's such a profession where you have opportunities and they're not going to do what's best for the administration at the end of the day.
You know how we always look at the domino effects of a coaching change, whether it's who Colorado gets and whoever Colorado gets, wherever this person came from, then they've got to fill the gap. But one thing that this caused was Vince Merrill down at Kentucky is their, among other things, recruiting guy. He is their stroke of genius. He's worth gold. And he's also close with Mel Tucker. Sparty comes after him, offers him apparently close to $1 million as a non-coordinator buck, recruiting coordinator, though. And Kentucky matches him, and his new salary, he started at Kentucky making 100-something. His new salary is 900-something. How about that?
Well, I'll say this. The best job to have now is an offensive defensive coordinator at a major school like Clemson or, you know, any of the Power Five schools that want to pay, because, you know, Tony Elliott and Brent Venables never have to leave. Dave Aranda finally decided to leave, and I think, you know, that was a good situation for him, but you can turn down jobs until your job comes that you want. If you're making, you know, $1.5 to $2 million or $900,000 from a, you know, salary. I mean, look at Joe Brady. Look at Joe Brady and how the meteoric rise that he had from a NFL analyst, a quality control guy, to basically the quasi offensive coordinator at LSU, to now offensive coordinator for the Carolina Panthers. I mean, you can't write stuff like that, Bill. That is, I have not seen that happen in the coaching profession like that. Usually, you had to, you know, Work the craft, till the soil, you know, plant the seeds, make sure it grew a little bit. You get a harvest one year would be terrible. But then at some point the fruits of your labor would be down the line that you'd be, you know, a head coach somewhere. Not anymore. If you're a hot guy, you better take it while you can.
No, you're right. Brady probably is an analyst making about $30K for the Saints. A little over a year later, he's well into the millions per year, and he gets to hire his own staff.
And, Bill, you know this to be true because you know football like I do. He was in an analyst role in the NFL or quality control, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
You're almost a grunt. You're almost the grunt guy. You got to do all the breakdown of film you do. And I know Brady had a little bit more input because they really liked what he was doing, and you could tell he was good with the players, but he was not a position coach, so to speak. He was an analyst, not even a coordinator there. And the thing that I like about that, and this just goes to show people out there that are listening, always work your craft hard and always do the best that you can because you never know who's looking. And think about this. You know, Coach Orgeron, they talk about him being this way or that way. Ed O knows, he knows people, and he knows how to recruit, right? He goes to the Saints thinking, I need to get somebody that's going to help me meld a spread offense that will give me a situation that we can match up these quality guys that we've had over the last 15, 20 years that we never put in position to make plays. I don't care what his title is. I just want to see how he works. So what does he do? He brings Brady in there, and Brady says, okay, look, Emsminger, you can keep the title, but I'm going to show you what we were able to do. And thinking all the things that you could learn from Drew Brees, all the cut-ups that you get from those guys, all the things that he could show Joe Burrow and the receivers to see Michael Thomas and all the things, because the Saints do a lot of things that put you in harm's way and put you in conflict. And you saw some of that with LSU, and even Nick Saban talked about it. He said, look, people talk about this being a spread. He said, this was a pro spread that put us in conflict. And if you're not covering these guys, they made you work. So I love the fact that Ed O and all these coaches now are not just looking at a title, but they're really looking hard to say, can this guy, can he X and O, can he work with the players, and can he make players better? Because at the end of the day, that's what you got to do as a coach.
Buck, good stuff, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Always love it, man. Y'all have a good one. Take care.
Thank you there. Charles Arbuckle.
Charles Arbuckle joins the Bill King Show every Tuesday morning as the King and Buck chop up all things football. Of course, a charter member of the No Chucks Club, myself, Charles Arbuckle, and Charles Davis, quite the trio over the years covering and talking about college football here on the radio. The Bill King Show is about to transition from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios down to the Southern Steak and Oyster. That is at the Pinnacle Building. It is, of course, on the corner of 3rd and Mundaren. Go on down there. Once a month, we go on down and enjoy a fantastic morning of broadcasting live from the Southern Steak and Oyster. Bill King takes over top of the hour. Brad Powers, hour number 3. Never too early to start getting your handicapping requests in. Ask BP is the hashtag you will want to use when it comes to getting those requests in. If you'd like to get on the lines and get ready to talk to Bill King, you can do that as well. Never too soon. 615-844-5600. That's 615-844-5600. We sure would appreciate it if you'd give this radio station a follow on Twitter at Nash Sports Radio, and that you would download that app, the WNSR app, completely free for you, and you can listen to the Bill King Show anywhere you go. So while the WNSR crew puts the final touches on connecting up and getting Bill King all set up, I will just say thank you very much. It has been a great honor taking you on a tour of the week that was here at the Bill King Show from the Gog and Cold Hall Studios. Always fantastic, and I always enjoy the time being with the Bill King Show audience. So appreciate each and every one of you. We'll turn it over to Bill King live at the Southern Steak and Oyster here as we head to the top of the hour. It's a mini Losh Pa for me. I'll be seeing you soon, everybody. Have a great day out there. Bill King takes it over next from the Southern Steak and Oyster.